الحمد لله وكفى الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. For several weeks now, we've been talking about this importance of eradicating diseases from the heart, and in particular, we've been speaking about the disease of holding a grudge. And on multiple occasions, we've spoken about the importance of being able to, or particularly the benefits of being able to remove grudges from our heart. We as human beings are constantly interacting with one another. It's natural that as part of that interaction, there will be friction. That friction will occur in our homes. That friction will occur in our communities. That friction will occur in our workplaces. That friction will occur with anyone that we interact with. That's just life. We all have different personalities. We all have different ways of doing things. We all have strengths and weaknesses. And invariably, in the process of interacting with one another, sometimes things don't go exactly as we planned. However, at the same time, what we have to recognize is that the deen teaches us and reminds us to put our everyday interactions in perspective. In what perspective? In the perspective and the context that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-seeing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the master of the day of judgment. Which basically means that every interaction that we have is seen, known, recorded, and eventually compensated. So we don't need to worry about what others are doing to us or what type of friction occurs when we interact with others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes it and sees it. And for our own health, for our own health, and for our own benefit, it is always better to take the circumstances that create friction and to remove them from our heart by forgiving anyone that we interact with. It benefits us in this life, and we spoke about some of those benefits in one of the gatherings. You know that when we hold a grudge against someone, it has negative effects on our psyche, and it has negative effects on us physically. And I spoke about this a few weeks back. The famous study that I mentioned, not necessarily famous, but the study that I mentioned in which they gave people the opportunity to talk about their past circumstances, and they took one group and they advised them they sort of let them hype up the negative grudges that they had in their heart. And they took another group and they advised them to forget about those grudges that they had in their heart. And there was a difference in their blood pressure. There was a difference in their depression and their activity level and their heart rate. So when a person holds a grudge, the only one that gets hurt is that person. If I hold a grudge against someone, all the anger that boils up inside me, it just hurts me. It doesn't go beyond me. I don't change anything in the world outside. The only thing that happens is that I get stressed and it leads to negative effects in my own health. At the same time, when I hold a grudge against someone, instead of being able to maintain a positive and light outlook towards life, I end up carrying anger and heaviness in my heart. And that eventually has a psychological effect on me. And that eventually it burns me up inside and leads to depression. So in so many ways, whether that be physical, whether that be spiritual, whether that be dunyawi, whether it be based on what the effects on the akhirah are, we have a important piece of guidance that our deen has given us, which is that any time someone does quote-unquote something that rubs us the wrong way, we should remove it from our hearts. We should remove it from our hearts. And the biggest benefit of this is that, as we mentioned, there are doors that open to Jannah regularly, in which it's stated that anyone who believes in the oneness of Allah should be able to enter into that door, into Jannah through that door, except the individual who holds a grudge. For them, it said, wait until they reconcile. Wait until they reconcile. So that in and of itself should be sufficient for us. Anytime we get into a circumstance where somebody rubs us the wrong way, and we feel like there's some sort of feeling in our heart, no matter who that is, whether that be a child or a spouse or a relative or a community member or a coworker or a boss or somebody that we don't even know, it doesn't matter. This is the challenge. We should recognize that it is way better and way easier for me to forgive. Number one, because I want that door of Jannah to always be open for me, because I really have nothing else to be able to get myself into Jannah. That's the reality of ourselves. And number two, there's no benefit in this for me. Now, of course, Shaitan is the counteractor. He knows all of these things that we've spoke about over the few weeks that we've been talking. He knows every single angle. And what does Shaitan do? Shaitan tries to heighten the differences between each of us. He tries to create friction and magnify that friction and create excuses for us to leave the fire in our hearts, which then precludes us from taking all the benefits that we've described. Shaitan is no fool. He is our open enemy. He clearly understands all the variables in this complex equation, and he knows exactly how to leverage each person so that he can maximize the negative effect in their life. Just think about it. He's super efficient. You know, everything is personalized with Shaitan. He doesn't just know the sins. He knows which sin each person will maximize themselves on. And he knows which time that person will be able to maximize on that sin. And he knows exactly how to bring the downfall of each individual person in this room. He's not even general. You know, generally a person could just say, I'm just going to mess up the whole community. Shaitan is so particular. He has individual henchmen that he applies to each person in the room. Literally. Little shayateen that are assigned one to you, one to you, one to you. And each person's circumstance is known. It's individualized. Nowadays, everybody's going into this individualization of things, which, you know, we'll talk about another time. But medicine has become individualized. We don't just treat you for a disease. We treat you for your disease based on your genetics, and we sequence your cancer, and we give exactly the drugs that only you need. That's the future of medicine. Shaitan is way ahead. Medicine is 100 years from there, 50 years from there. Shaitan is already doing this for centuries. For thousands of years, he's been doing this. Since the beginning of human beings, he's been doing this. He knows which circumstance will cause each individual's downfall. He goes after that based on their propensity to fall into that circumstance. So we have to be very careful and know that Shaitan is an open enemy and is trying to constantly derail us. And the deen is there to uplift us. And obviously the deen is greater than anything, and Allah is greater than any power that Shaitan can ever imagine. So it behooves us to take the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this circumstance, and the example of the companions in this circumstance, and that is that every night before we go to bed, along with the istighfar, along with the salawat, along with the du'as that we recite, we should clearly and openly remove any negative feeling that we have towards any other person, particularly any other Muslim, but any other person. We should let it go. We should let it go, recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much more in store for us, and that with Him lies the greatest of rewards. Now, this is a summary, and we talked a lot about various angles and aspects of this over the past few weeks. But there's one thing that I wanted to discuss in particular regarding this issue, and it applies to this issue, it applies to many issues. And that is that, just as I mentioned earlier, that Shaitan knows each of us and our individual propensities to make mistakes, it's important for us to be able to recognize ourselves as well. We have to recognize who we are. And this is very important in being able to avoid circumstances that can lead to our downfall. Listen very carefully. Everybody in this room is different. Everybody's genetically different. Everybody's life is different. Everybody's circumstances are different. Everybody's challenges are different. And Shaitan knows that. Shaitan already has studied that. And Shaitan will leverage that. And one of the ways by which we avoid the effects of Shaitan is to appreciate that. Meaning we have to recognize who we are. Not as a community, as individuals. And when we recognize who we are, we need to appreciate that and we need to make efforts towards that. Now, what do I mean? I gave a medical example last week or the week before, I can't recall, in which I mentioned to you that a person who has a disease has sort of two angles to that disease. One is the unfortunate reality that they have to live with that disease. But two is the benefit of having a diagnosis and being able to avoid that disease or treat that disease. For example, if somebody comes to you and says, I have difficulty breathing every time I sit next to a cat, okay, and they don't know why, they just have this difficulty breathing, but eventually you say to them, well, you know what, this is actually a disease. Then this disease is called asthma, and asthma is triggered by this, and its treatments are that. In one way, the patient has bad news, because now they've got the news that they have a disease. But in another way, the patient has good news because now they have a name to that disease. And when they have a name to that disease, they also have a treatment and they have a treatment plan for that disease. So what would the treatment be? The treatment would be, look, you have asthma. So because you have asthma, you need to recognize that there are triggers that will make your asthma worse, that will cause your symptoms to arise. So that's helpful for the patient because now the patient knows I have this disease. I need to avoid X, Y, and Z. And if I avoid X, Y, and Z, I'll be able to avoid the effects of my disease. So this becomes a important feature of that individual. They have to recognize that they have this disease and they have to take the appropriate medicines and the appropriate precautions to avoid that disease. So in the same way, just as we have physical diseases, we have spiritual diseases. When a person says, you know, I'm not able to pray, I'm not able to enjoy my prayer, I'm not able to get anything out of my prayer, that's not a disease, that's a symptom. That's not a disease, that's a symptom. Then the question is, what's causing that symptom? It could be attachment to dunya, it could be misuse of the eyes, it could be misuse of the tongue, it could be misuse of the hands, it could be misuse of the feet. But what we have to recognize is that we need to appreciate what are our own diseases, what are our own propensities. And when we appreciate those propensities, the bad news is I have that. And the good news is that now I know how I can avoid it in the future. Now, like I said to you, everybody in this room has this responsibility. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ already highlighted the fundamental paradigm concerning spiritual disease in the community, which is what? Every one of the children of Adam is a sinner. Every one of the children of Adam is a sinner. The best of the sinner is the one who makes tawbah. So what does that mean? It means that we already have a diagnosis. Everybody is diseased. That means that all of us need to be looking for our diseases. Why? Because when we appreciate our diseases, we'll be able to then make appropriate tawbah, which is what makes us the best then. And it allows us to be able to recognize the weaknesses that are inherent within us so that we can avoid the future mistakes, which is essential to tawbah as well, by the way. Tawbah has multiple facets to it. One facet is to seek forgiveness. Another facet is to make a promise to not do that again. And also to seek the circumstances that help us to avoid that in the future. So the best of us becomes what? The best of us is not the one that has no sin, because every person in this room is going to have propensity to sin. The best of us becomes those individuals who actually seek out their sins, who actually try to make a diagnosis, who try to seek forgiveness, and then who, in the consequence of that forgiveness and diagnosis, learn how they can avoid the circumstances that will cause that sin to arise within them. That is the battle of deen, essentially. Like I said somewhere in the discussion, we have two angles to our deen. One is the ibadat that we do, and the other is the sins that we avoid. The whole fundamental premise of the sins that we avoid lies in this simple concept that every one of us is diseased. The best of us are those who appreciate our diseases and make tawbah and avoid the circumstances that lead to our disease. Now, what does that mean? That means that I, as an individual, have a responsibility. The first, like any diabetic, I have to take my sugar every day. Not once a day, multiple times a day. So what does that mean? I have to continuously reflect on myself and ask the questions, where are my sins? I know they are there. I have to find them. It's not a question of finding other people's sins. It's a question of finding my own sins. I know that my sins must be there because the fundamental basis of us, of our creation, is that we are sinners. I have to continuously, regularly search to find those sins. Diabetics, you know, they constantly know, if I feel a little funny, take my blood sugar. Let me check my blood sugar. Patients with high blood pressure, no. I need to take my blood pressure 2, 3, 4 times a day. We're the same. We are already diseased. We are already chronically ill. And the only way to avoid the effects of those diseases is to constantly take assessment of who we are. And that's basically the istighfar that we make every day. Well, we have this recommendation, make 100 istighfar in the morning, make 100 istighfar in the evening. What is the premise of that? The premise of that is that we're already sinning constantly. This is how we take our pulse. We scan with a fine-tooth comb our routine on a daily basis, not daily, twice daily, 3 times daily. And we ask the question, where are my mistakes? Where can I improve? Where have I failed myself? Where have I failed the people around me? This is the part of who we are. Now, when we do that, then we slowly begin to recognize the diseases that are present within us. And like I said, one of the greatest gifts that a person can receive in this life is that they appreciate their weaknesses and they make tawbah for them. How many sinners are there who actually go on with life thinking that they are the best on the planet? How many sinners are there who do sin constantly and don't even see what they're doing? Look at the craziness that's going on in the world around us. People do these things, completely horrific things, and they don't even appreciate that it's wrong. They can't even see that it's wrong. I mean, think that any person in the history of the world would be able to see that's wrong, and they can't see. They've reached Fir'aun state. Can't even see what's wrong, just seeing themselves. That's what happens to people. It is a huge blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us if we can appreciate our sins and recognize them and seek tawbah and forgiveness for our sins. That is something we should be grateful for. We should ask Allah for. Ya Allah, open my eyes to my own reality. That is who we are. We are constantly seeking our mistakes. Not because it should depress us or slow us down or put us in a circumstance where we give up hope. No, because we know that there's a forgiving Lord that is waiting for us to seek forgiveness from Him so that He can erase the effects of our sins and relieve us from the burden on our shoulders. We want to leverage the opportunity. We're not trying to paralyze ourselves in the circumstances of who we are. We're leveraging the opportunity. So, we have to spend time seeking out our mistakes. Whether they be grudges, whether they be backbiting, whether they be zina of the eyes or zina of the tongue, or whether it be greed, or whether it be a lack of love for our neighbor, whatever it might be, we have to seek these out perpetually, day and night, until the day we go to our grave, because they can creep in anywhere along our existence. The second thing that we have to do, we have to seek the attention of the doctors in the community. Now, physically, we often claim ourselves to be free of physical defect, and we don't worry about seeing doctors. You know, you have to actually, for a child, you actually have to force yourself to take them to the doctor. The kid looks healthy. I feel healthy. I'm a young adult. There's no problem. So we often don't see the doctor until we start feeling the effects of our diseases. And then we start saying, okay, now I need to go to the doctor. I've got high blood sugar. I've got high blood pressure. I've got back pain, whatever it might be. We're the opposite. From the day we're born till the day we die, we already know that the diseases are there. And we need the assistance of people to be able to highlight those diseases for us. So we're constantly keeping our ear open. And we have ulama, mashayikh, people of piety that we can sit in the company of. And when we sit in the company of these people, what it does for us is it allows us to see a reflection of ourselves. When we come to the masjid and we see people of piety, it allows us to see that there's energy towards the deen and allows us to ask the question, do I have that energy? When we see people that are consistent with Quran and reciting Quran and enjoying Quran, we then ask the question, maybe I'm not enjoying Quran for a reason. Maybe I'm not consistent with Quran for a reason. Maybe I'm not consistent with my dhikr for a reason. It allows us to appreciate the symptoms, which then allows us to seek out the diseases. So we're dependent on those environments. If we have the opportunity to have mentors in our life who can actually understand us and take the time to learn who we are, and we're able to then see our diseases that way, that's a benefit. That's a blessing. When we do dhikr and the light of dhikr comes into our heart and it begins to reveal the defects in the corners of our lives, that's a benefit. That's something that we want, we're seeking. When someone reveals our mistakes to us, it is a positive, not a negative, despite the fact that it's difficult sometimes to hear. We are always seeking to understand our diseases because we know that the way by which we can avoid them is only to make the diagnosis. Now, what does that mean for us in particular? For us in particular, it means that over time, our diseases will be revealed to us. Sometimes by the benefit of good company. Other times by the benefit of bad mistakes. What does that mean? Bad mistakes. Bad mistakes means we don't see our diseases. We live with them. We act upon them. We let them take us over, and they take us to a very dark place, and we fall. And when we fall, we then appreciate that this happened. And then we go back, right, and study and say, why did I end up here? Well, it must be because I had bad friends, or I had bad habits, or I was misusing my tongue, or my ears, or my time. And that allows us to trace back and then eventually isolate the event and recognize who we are. Once we appreciate our diseases, we have to then appreciate the fact that they will always be with us. And let me make this 1,000% clear. There is no cure for your diseases. Maybe some small mistakes here and there you can cure. But who we are is who we are. And our weaknesses are always with us. The only mistake we can make concerning our diseases is to think that they go away. Because the moment they go away, that's the time that we'll slip again. Nafs will never go. Nafs will die the day that we go to Jannah. Otherwise, nafs will be with us. And we have to be particular about understanding that whatever our weaknesses, they will always be our weaknesses. What does that mean? That means that whatever we need to do to avoid those weaknesses, we need to do until we get to the grave. The moment somebody thinks that their problem is gone is the moment that it is likely to recur. People come to me in very dire circumstances. Very dire circumstances. And they say to me, I'm afraid that it's going to happen again. But I personally don't worry it's going to happen again. It's not going to happen again the next day. Somebody comes crying, I did this big sin. I feel horrible. My life's in shambles. Tell me what I need to do. I am not at all worried that they're going to fall into that sin the next day. What am I worried about? The worry is that they will fall into that same sin 5 years from that day. Once they've recovered and everything's back to normal, and then they begin to think that that's gone and disappeared, that's the time that shaitan will leverage his knowledge of that person and he will take them down a dark path that they never thought they would return to. Because shaitan knows and his henchmen know and they understand and they record and they're far more organized than us. Far more organized than us. So we have to be very particular that when we appreciate a weakness within ourselves, we recognize that that weakness is there forever. And we need to plan appropriately 7 steps before. Why 7 steps before? Because no sin begins as a sin. Every fire begins as a spark. It's never that a person jumps to Z. They go from A to B, B to C, C to D. It's a slow progression until they eventually get to a place where they shouldn't be. So we have to appreciate the weaknesses. We have to count 7 steps before, and we have to be far on top of it. If I know that I have a problem with my eyes, I need to be particular about where I go, what I keep, how I use devices, etc. This is something that you have to analyze way in advance. A person cannot say, I have a problem with my eyes, so, you know, I'm just going to go wherever I want and do whatever I want. It's not going to work. Which person is going to be able to stand in front of a truck and stop it with their hand? No, you have to avoid the street. You have to avoid the busy street. You have to avoid the times when the streets are busy, etc. So this is something that every person in this room has to recognize. This is wisdom. We are all diseased. There is no exception in this room. We are all diseased. But the best of us is the one who appreciates that disease, seeks forgiveness for that disease, and plans on how they can avoid that disease, which requires cognizance and appreciation of the disease. And then, once we appreciate that disease, we then do everything in our power to avoid the environment that leads to that disease. Whether that be a sin, whether that be a disease. If I'm a backbiter, I need to know that I'm a backbiter. I need to see that I'm a backbiter. And then I need to know. I can't just get on the phone and start chatting away. I can't just sit with people and chat till 3 a.m. I can't just get into a circumstance where a bunch of people are just talking about everybody because I just come out completely destroyed. You know, it becomes like people sit and talk about 50 people in one conversation. It's like 50 acts of zina in one moment, in one gathering. You know, people, the one sin, I mean, there's so many sins, obviously, the one sin that people don't tire of is backbiting. Even zina, people tire. Somebody does zina, how much zina can they do in one night? People can backbite about 5,000 people in one night and still not tire. Everybody's laughing, everybody's joking, and all these people have been talked about in the process. We have to be very particular about the darkness that exists in this life and how easily we can end up in the corners where we shouldn't be. But it requires understanding. It requires us to know who we are. And it requires us to understand environments and how those affect us. Now, again, I went on these tangents and took, you know, 25 minutes doing this. All of this was, you know, started on this conversation of grudges and holding grudges and then understanding how to avoid grudges and understanding the benefits of avoiding grudges. So, again, inshallah, next time, we have to appreciate what the diseases are. Grudge is one of those diseases. And then we have to appreciate how likely we are to fall into grudges. And the likelihood of that is completely a function of the fact that there is such a huge reward. What do I mean by that? Shaitan knows. Shaitan knows that this door to Jannah opens and that anybody who has tawheed is able to go into that door except the one who holds a grudge. It completely ruins Shaitan's effort. So what is Shaitan going to focus on? Shaitan knows that this is a broad, easy door for people to enter. It's a big, wide door that so many people can enter into Jannah, and it opens twice a week, and a call is made who wants to enter. So he then, recognizing that this is an easy way for him to fail, goes through the community and purposely sprinkles friction and grudges in people's hearts. He whispers, but don't you remember that that person said that? How can you forgive that? Don't you remember that that person treated you that way? How could you forget that? Don't you remember that that person looked at you funny? How can you forget that? Don't you remember that that person took this thing from you? How can you forget that? And what happens? 30, 40, 50 years ago something happened, and it's as fresh as it happened yesterday. The person does not remember what they did 50 years ago, where they lived 50 years ago, what their phone number was 50 years ago, but they remember that minute that that thing happened. Where is that coming from? Some sort of angel brings it down and reminds the person every day? No, that's completely shaitan. Completely 100% shaitan whispering, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. And why is shaitan doing that? Because that is the way by which he locks the door to Jannah. That's all he needs. And now a person sitting 50 years, 50, 40 years, 30 years, remembering this person said this, this person did this. And there may not even be anything there. And even if there is anything there, it's so small. What, 30 years? What happens in 30 years? There's nothing that even carries over in 30 years. We have to be wiser than that. We have to leverage the benefits that the deen has provided us. We have to recognize that we have one up on shaitan because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cared enough to share with us the details of these very important paradigms. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for any opportunity to forgive. So at the least we should say, Ya Allah, I am the biggest sinner on the planet. I need some excuse to go to Jannah. Ya Allah, I let anything that I have go in my heart against anyone. Forget about it. Let me go to Jannah through that door that opens up because I believe in your oneness. That's the minimum that we should do. And that should be a daily struggle. Until we convince ourselves that Allah's reward is greater than anything else that we have. And that, I don't think that requires much discussion. What is the grudge going to get us? I already explained to you the grudge gets you nothing. Which person says I held a grudge so long that I got what I wanted? No, there is not one person on the planet that will ever say that. Instead, they'll say I held a grudge so long I'm still burning with anger. My blood pressure is high. I have diabetes because of him. No, you don't have diabetes because of him. You have diabetes because of shaitan and yourself. That's why we have diabetes. Because we have yet to understand the beauty of our deen. If Rasulullah ﷺ can put up with everything that the kuffar of Makkah did and accept them all wholeheartedly into deen, when they stood up against Allah and the oneness of Allah, and Rasulullah ﷺ could let all of that go, then who are we? Who harmed us in what way? Stand up and show me something greater. This is the example before us. This is what allowed that community to unify and created a model that 1400 years later we still point to and we still benefit from. Nothing lasts 1400 years. Fashion doesn't last 400 years. Architecture doesn't last 400 years. Empires don't last, 1400 years. This deen is thriving 1400 years later because of the foundations upon which it was built. Now we're ready to give it up. We're ready to let shaitan in 5 minutes be able to create grudges from, you know, people. He sent a tweet about me. I'm never going to forget it. Don't even know who the person is, but he sent a tweet about me. Forget about it. There's no benefit. The only benefit, the only actual opportunity is to leverage the circumstance and say, Ya Allah, you are greater than anything that anyone can do to me. Your reward is greater than anything that anyone could ever give to me. Ya Allah, because you have offered Jannah in exchange for the clean heart, I am asking you to give me the strength. Let anything go that's in my heart. Ya Allah, forgive anyone that has ever said anything or done anything or treated me in any way. Ya Allah, let it all go in exchange for your Jannah. That's all that you have to do. Even if it does not fit into our heart immediately, eventually it will settle. Eventually it will settle. And that's exactly what that companion did, that the Prophet ﷺ testified that he was a person of Jannah. Not once, multiple times. Why? Because he took advantage of an opportunity. And we know the whole story because that companion who followed him We are in debt to him until the day of judgment. Because he followed, you know, the people would be saying, oh, he was a person of Jannah. He must have been praying all night. Oh, he was a person of Jannah. He must have had these pious children. Oh, he was a person of Jannah. He must have given all his wealth. But we have the benefit that somebody examined and came to the conclusion after eliminating everything and watching him like a hawk for so many days straight that the only thing that he did was that he forgave whatever was in his heart against anyone. So, I mean, there's no question here. There's no debate. There's no, scholarly discussion. This is crystal clear. There is nothing worth keeping in our hearts. It will paralyze us and lose, and take away our ability to benefit ourselves. We flush everything out, just like people flush the toilet. We flush everything out every day. We let it go. And we flush it with the promise of Jannah. And that is such a rapid flow of mercy and barakah and benefit that it can wipe away very quickly any grudge that we have against any person. We have to be very careful because this is, it's just crazy how pervasive this is in the community. And it's a web. It's not that every person has one grudge. Every person has five grudges. One for each decade. I have one from when I was 10, one when I was 20, one when I was 30, one from the masjid, one from work, one from my family. This is you know what these are? These are handcuffs that Shaitan has used to bind us into our Jahannam. To bind us from the mercy of Allah. It's like a web, you know, he traps one hand, traps the other hand, traps a foot, traps the other foot, traps our backs, and we're stuck. And the only way out is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, I forgive anyone who ever did anything to me, openly, hidden, knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally. And just as I forgive anyone who did that, I also seek your forgiveness for everything that I've done openly, hidden, knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally, at night, during the day. This is the vastness. You know, we leverage these things. We turn them on their heads and we take advantage of Allah's mercy. This is the benefit of our deen. It has already given us these very gold, these very much golden pieces of wisdom. All we need to do is leverage them and take advantage of them. All we need to do is leverage them and take advantage of them. So this is the summary of who we are. And this is the deen that we've been given. And the only loser on the day of judgment will be the one who knew and didn't take advantage of it. That's us. That's us 1400 years later. We have the same message. That is a huge blessing upon us. In a time of confusion, when there's so much information out there, our deen is clear. It's straight. We know it. It's present before us and has been modeled for centuries. Imagine, you know, if I had a problem and I didn't know where to go, I have to go to Barnes & Noble and pick up 500 books and nobody even knows what they're talking about. Everybody's just writing and there's nothing definitive in there. Everybody's got an idea about how to solve this problem and that problem. And first of all, the problems are not even known. And even if they are known, nobody knows how to solve them. When everything is encapsulated in this thing called deen, I don't have to look far. I just have to put my head on the musalla and boom, everything comes. This is a huge blessing upon us. Why would we lose that? Why would we not leverage that? We have cure to diseases that the whole world is seeking cure for. We know diseases that people have yet to diagnose. And we've been given the wisdom of being able to identify them and actually treat them. This is a huge benefit upon us. Huge benefit upon us. And we should leverage it and take advantage of it and appreciate it. And it starts by inculcating it ourselves. I'm not going to sit here and talk 8 weeks in a row on grudges, and it's just entertainment and we don't do anything about it. We should go home and we should make tawbah and we should clear our hearts and we should seek Allah's reward and we should avoid this web in the future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be among those who are able to remove any grudge that we have against anyone for whatever they did, whenever they did it. And may in exchange, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us entry into the easy door of Jannah, which is simply based on not holding any grudge against anyone. وَآخُرَ الدَّعْوَانَ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ